Stand as you are able for the gospel reading. You can follow along in page 681 in the Pew Bible if you wish. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. We have been exploring the details of the birth of Jesus for a few weeks now. The Gospels of Matthew and Luke have provided us with some intricate details of his genealogy, his birth narrative, and those who came to witness to this great event. We have yet another set of travelers to talk about today, the Magi. These were people of the East who followed a star to pay homage to this newborn king. Our story today is less about the earthly details of Jesus' birth and more of a reminder that this event had cosmic consequences as well, as witnessed by the participation in the events of the sun, moon, and stars. In his letter to the Ephesians, Ignatius of Antioch — it wasn't just Paul who wrote the letters to the Ephesians, Ignatius was a second century bishop in Syria — he wrote this about the event: "The virginity of Mary and her giving birth eluded the ruler of this age, likewise also the death of the Lord. Three mysteries of a cry which were done in the stillness of God. How then was he revealed to the eons? A star shone in heaven, brighter than all the stars, and its light was ineffable, and its novelty caused astonishment. All the other stars, together with sun and moon, became a chorus for the star. And it outshone then with all its light. And there was perplexity as to whence came this novelty so unlike them. Thence was destroyed all magic, and every bond vanished. Evil's ignorance was abolished. The old kingdom perished. God being revealed as human to bring newness of eternal life, and what had been prepared by God had its beginning. Hence all things were disturbed, because the destruction of death was being worked out." What was it about that star? How did the Magi know? I suppose they could have followed any other star. There's always a few in the sky that are a little brighter than others. But this one, this star, was announcing Emmanuel, God with us. This earthy and heavenly being came to us as a child born into poverty, and the heavens and cosmos rejoiced. Jesus' birth announcement called the Magi to a faraway place where they encountered Herod, that fearful ruler of the age. Herod was terrified of the prophecy and stories of the ancients, so he decided he needed in on that baby action too, but for a much different purpose than his supposed wish to pay the child homage. He wished to destroy the child, the one that we call the light, so that the people would continue to live in darkness under his rule and no one else. Because if Jesus was king, then Herod was not. This story would have deep implications for people of the ancient world, because the birth of this child was recognized by Jews and Gentiles, by shepherds and kings, by earthly beings and cosmic forces. And for the Magi, it was a long and dangerous journey for some kings with some relatively expensive cargo. The gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh would have been great treasures of the ancient world. And I wonder if they thought to themselves, especially after that encounter with Herod, what have we gotten ourselves into? So as we sit with their story this morning, I can't help but wonder, where has Jesus led you? What adventures have you endeavored on as a disciple of Christ? Several years ago, I received a call from a dear friend who was gathering a group of people together to go to the Gulf Coast following the devastation after Hurricane Katrina. I had no idea what to expect, but without hesitation, I said, sure, let's do this, let's go. We flew from Seattle to Dallas and then Dallas to Gulfport, Mississippi on what had to be the tiniest plane I had ever seen. That was the first moment I thought to myself, what have I gotten myself into? As you probably know, those smaller planes fly really close to the Earth's surface, allowing for a bird's eye view of the landscape. As we approached the areas most affected by the storm, I saw a sea of blue tarps, piles of debris throughout the bayou, and a distinctive line of destruction close to the water. The storm had flattened whole neighborhoods on the coastline, and all that remained of many homes were the concrete slabs that had once been the foundation of hope and growth for families in the area. We landed safely in Gulfport, got our rental cars, and headed to Christus Victor Lutheran Church in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and that would be our home base for the next week. Our work varied from day to day. We helped people gut their homes down to the studs so that they could spray for mold and then eventually rebuild. We organized food donations and set up a small food bank. We listened to the stories of devastation, death, and fear, and then the stories of anger at insurance companies and at FEMA. The church we were staying at had also been affected by the storm. A few feet of water had swept through the sanctuary, leaving behind destroyed pews, moldy carpet, and ruined drywall. But in the midst of all that chaos and heartbreak, there was a little glimmer of hope. The eternal flame, much like the one we have here at our Redeemer, was hanging from the ceiling like it always had. A light shining in the darkness. This was the first moment that I felt a sense of call to ordained ministry. This was when my adventure began. Christ led me to that time and place and on an adventure of a lifetime, the journey which brought me here to you at our Redeemer in Garden Grove, and the journey which will take me to another faith community in about a year. Epiphany is a light in the darkness, but it is also journeying as disciples of Christ and letting his light shine through our words and deeds. Okay, so it's confession time. As Anne had pointed out, most of the church today is celebrating the baptism of Jesus. Epiphany proper was on Friday, but we have entered into the Epiphany season, so we're still legitimate. And Jesus has led you to an intern who doesn't always follow the rules. But Epiphany is magical, and we don't always get a chance to sit and talk about star stuff and talk about the cosmos and church. One of my favorite writers had this to say about the season. Her name is J. Mary Luti. Epiphany is a season of signs. It starts with a star in the east and ends with a fire on the mountain. A season of voices. It starts with directions in a dream and ends with acknowledgement from a cloud. A season of unveiling. It starts with a glimpse of a baby's skin and ends with a display of gleaming garments. A season of worship. It starts with the homage of the kings and ends with the prostration of disciples. Starfire, dream clouds, baby's flesh, garments of light, kings on their knees, and disciples on their faces. In Epiphany, we learn to see, again to see, to listen, to worship, and to be called. Discipleship is as much about being spoken to as it is about speaking. As much about adoring as serving, as much about perceiving as doing. As much about being found as searching. Discipleship is born in awe. It arises from encounter. It is a consequence of worship. Epiphany is star stuff in darkness and learning to be disciples all over again, on our knees in prayer and praise. It is journeying in word and deeds in the footsteps of Jesus. It is praising God for the work completed and the work that continues in this world. It is loving our neighbors so radically that they too can let their light shine. It is sharing meals and caring for the poor. It is standing up for what is right and protecting the vulnerable. It's taking a deep breath and wondering, what has Jesus gotten me into? And still saying yes to the journey. So I'll leave you with this. Pay attention to where Jesus is leading you this Epiphany season. He might be calling you to far-off places and ventures unknown, but he will always call you to discipleship and to shine his light in the dark spaces of the world. Amen.